The Republic of May, 2021 years after the era of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our tafsir from the Faculty of Engineering Mosque, Ahmadu Bello University, Zaria, continues from the 47th ayah in Surat Al-Ahzab. Ustaz Abdul Mumin Yaqub will recite the Holy Quran for us, while our Sheikh Professor Abdullah Elokene will conduct the tafsir, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق والناصر الحق بالحق الهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره مقدار العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا الله تبارك وتعالى he was telling us who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is and what he told the Prophet, he said, "Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa naziran wa daya ila Allah biiznihi wa sirajan munira." When Allah was saying this, he used inna, that's what we call nunul azamati, that is plurality of dignity. When you are talking to somebody, say, we did this, Allah with his plurality of dignity, he talked to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "We made you to be witness, to give glad tidings, to be also a warner, and to call to Allah." Not just to the part of Allah. Now, these people that we are talking about, they are already on the part of Allah, but call them to Allah. Then, who are those that are to be called to Allah? As they are being called to Allah, give them glad tidings. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Give them glad tidings that you, this faithful servant of Allah, bi anna lahum min Allahi fadlan kabira, that there is a lot of virtue, a lot of blessings awaiting them. So the mu'min should be very grateful that Allah sent his own beloved and sent him in dignity, gave him to us in dignity, he himself dignifying him. Ya Yuhan Nabi, giving him dignity. So we should also dignify him, then we will be dignified. The Prophet is not a small blessing to all of us. And the way Allah brought him is not a small blessing to us. We should all realize this. So if you are with the Prophet and you rise to the position of being faithful to him, then what is in front of you has no limit. You are open to an infinite blessing. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا
وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَدَعْ أَذَاهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا
وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَدَعْ أَذَاهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Just like Allah started asking the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to rely on Allah, he's telling him here, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. Don't in any way accept or be lenient or follow the unbelievers, the infidels and the hypocrites. وَدَعْ أَذَاهُمْ. Try to put off their hurting you. Watawakkal ala Allah. They are hurting you, hold it away, but don't obey them. And put your reliance completely on Allah. Wakafe billahi wakila. A one that is a protector, like Allah, there is none. He is enough as a protector to you. Here, Prophet Laslama was told in another place, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, jahid al-kuffara wal-munafikina, waghluz alayhim. Allah is being asked to fight the infidels and to fight the hypocrites, and that he should be stern on them. In the case of Prophet Moses, Allah was telling him, وَقُولُوا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. To Fir'aun, talk to him gently, softly. Maybe he will hear and he will be afraid. But the Prophet was being told, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدُ الْكُفَّارِ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَبْلُزْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Be stern and be harsh on them. Why? The Prophet, by his nature, is a very merciful person, very compassionate person. So Allah has to tell him, be firm and be harsh. In the case of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he is a jalaliyum, somebody who is, by his nature, he doesn't take nonsense for any person. So that's why he was meant to, وَقُولُوا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. When you go, talk softly to him. Allah has asked Prophet Muhammad to fight the munafiq, jahid al-kuffara wal-munafiqina. But he was fighting the kuffar, he was not fighting the munafiq. Wherever they were bringing the munafiq, they are bringing any harm, any injury to him, he just find a way to dodge it and put it off. To this, a lot of sahabas were not comfortable. Allah said, jahid al-kuffara wal-munafiqina. Why are you not punishing them? He said, because of the community. The kuffar, they are different. Everybody knows that these ones are not with me. The munafiq, they are with me. You are the ones who know that they are munafiq. The people outside don't know that these ones are munafiq. They are looking at all of us as the same. So if I start fighting them, people will say, Muhammad has finished with his enemies, he is now fighting his own people. There is a lot of lesson here to learn. Anabi Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, when Anabi Musa came to him, he was asking him, why are you with the infidels? Why did you not fight them? He said, I am afraid antakula farakta baina bani Israel wa lam tarkub qawli. I'm afraid to say that you make me that I have divided the people of Israel into communities of believers and non-believers, and I do not follow your word. Because of this, that's why those that were disobeying the commandments behind you, I did not do anything to them. And here we are seeing the Prophet ﷺ is being told, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. In another place, he was being told, جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَبْلُزْ عَلَيْهِمْ. He was fighting the kuffar, but the munafiq, he left them, and he was just touching their injuries. He was trying to find a way out. Wada azehim, that is the one that the Prophet was doing. Why? Like he said, people don't know who are the munafiqs. As far as they are concerned, all of us are a community. If I start punishing people unnecessarily, people will say, you are finished with your enemies, you are now taking your own community as your enemy. This is showing that outsiders look at all of us as a people. You don't just come and you start criticizing everybody within your community. Find a way out in such a way that people will not see you at par, and that people will not see you fighting or quarreling with your own people. It's not the correct thing. And if you are going to put off their injury, rely on Allah. And Allah is enough for you. That's why always we tell people, always recite Hafdun Allah Al-Mu'ala 450 every day. Allah will take care of your enemies for you. It's better for you to always come out. You have no enemy but Muslims. How can you be a Muslim? You have no enemy but Muslims. Look at the Prophet last summer, being told, Wada Azehim.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha nakahtumul mu'minati thumma talaqtumuhunna min qabli an تمسوهن فما لكم عليهن من عدة تعتدونها فمتعوهن وسرحوهن سراحا جميلا
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نكحتم المؤمنات ثم طلقتموهن من قبل أن تمسوهن فما لكم عليهن من عدة تعتدونها ومتعوهن وسرحوهن سراحا جميلا. الله تبارك وتعالى is now, after he has told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to his wife, who he should marry, Sayyida Zainab to him after the divorce of Sayyidina Zaidu. In this case, throughout, Sayyidina Zaidu found it difficult to approach Zainab. He was afraid of her, found it difficult to touch her, and she was not receptive. Throughout, he had nothing to do with her. Here, Rasulullah SAW was saying, Amsik alayka zawjaka wattaqillah. Go and take your wife, fear Allah. Go and take your wife, fear Allah. You woman, go and take your husband, fear Allah. Go and take your husband, fear Allah. But their natural dispositions was not meant for each other. This one is seen, the man is seeing the lady as a princess and see himself as a freed slave. Not meant for this. The lady is seeing herself as a princess and see this one as a freed slave. That is not up to him. So throughout, the two of them were living uncomfortably, not able to touch, the lady. Lady was not also accepting. So here, he divorced her without touching her. And in this case, with some wisdom that we'll see later on, Allah himself now married her to the Prophet as the fifth wife in Medina. Here, what if other women, people that also believe in Allah, they believe in Allah, they are willing to obey Allah, something happened, they also have to divorce a lady without touching her, what do they do? That's why here, a lot of judgment is in this verse. Allah is telling, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you that you believe, Iza nakahatumul mu'minati, if you marry a believing woman, you marry a believing woman, ثم طلقتموهن, and you divorce them, من قبل أن تمسوهن, before you touch them. Touching means here having sexual intercourse with them. What do you do? فما لكم عليهن من عدة تعتدونها. There is no عدة for you to count. You are not going to say you are going to count عدة or استبراء. There is no عدة, there is no استبراء. فَمَتِّئُوهُنَّ, what you are supposed to do is try to make sure that you give them something that they will feel happy, or at least will be a consolation to them for divorcing them without touching them. وَسَرِّحُوهُنَّ, and try to despise them, to leave, to allow them to leave. سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا, departure that is a beautiful departure, not a departure full of accusations and things that are not to be had. Here, a lot of times there are reasons that can make a man. You marry a lady. When you marry her, before you even have to consume her, you saw something that you did not like, and you don't want to continue the marriage. You are allowed to divorce her. Because when you marry a lady, your intention is not to marry her for a week, for a day. It's to marry her for life. If what you see in her, you are not going to be able to tolerate for the rest of your life, then don't allow her, don't start consummating her and making her to be a secondary wife, somebody, divorce her. In this case, he did not touch her. Since he did not touch her, there is no idda. Idda has wisdom in it. When you divorce a woman, she has to have idda before anybody can marry her. Why? So that people know, is she pregnant or she is not pregnant. But there is a serious matter today in the world, very serious, that people take very little. And that is one of the problems of the world today. If you look at the world today, you can say that our problems are in four facets. Marriage is half of it. Then the remaining three are in the other half. Education, livelihood, and leadership. But marriage is certainly half of it. Why? Because every family is marriage that started up is the foundation of the marriage, of the house. So if the marriage is wrong at the first instance, then you have a real problem. Why I say that there's a serious problem that most of us are we are underrating. Allah did not underrate it. The Prophet certainly did not underrate it. But we are underrating it. What is the meaning of idda? Idda is a lady that is properly married. The man consummated the marriage. Has there been a child? Yes. Or there was no child? Yes. Whatever it is. And they now have to get divorced. When they get divorced, then the lady has to wait for 3 menstrual period. But the ones that are not having a menstrual period, they just wait for 3 months. Like ladies that have gone beyond menopause. This is idda. There's also what you call istibra. Istibra is asking a lady to wait to be sure that she's not pregnant. It can be 1 month, it can be 3 months. This istibra normally takes place when there is dinner. When there is surety that a lady committed dinner, and then you are now marrying her out, she must do istibra before she can get married to the other man, or before the marriage can be consumed. Today, nobody takes care of this. Most of the ladies being married today are married as divorcees in the name of virgins. Because the first marriage of a lady is, she's taken to be a virgin. But 90% of marriages today, believe me, the ladies are not virgin. And if they are not virgin, then there's a big problem. Sheikh Ibrahim Nias, radiallahu ta'ala, he said, when a lady is married to a man as a virgin, by the time the man that disvirgin her, half of her love has gone to that man. Half. 50%. The remaining 50% will go to the children when she starts bearing children. So if you marry a divorcee, for example, who already has children, then when she comes to your house, she's only going to be looking for conveniences in the house. The question of her love, by natural disposition, is out. By natural disposition, is out. And you have to, all of us, this issue we are discussing here is peculiar to our time, and please, people should take it seriously. A sin that Allah says, a girl, should be flogged publicly 100 lashes. We are taking it today as a plague. 100 lashes. That is zina of a girl that is not yet married. She is supposed to be cane 100. The boy cane 100. Today we take it as a plague. You find today a lot of ladies, they are killing their husbands. All these ladies, you find that they are killing their husband. They did not go to their husband as virgins. They didn't. So there was no natural love between them and their husband. Because there was no natural love between them and their husband, all that they are looking for is conveniences in the house. A woman that is divergent by his first husband, you will find out she will take any rubbish from the husband. Whatever goes wrong, she will always come back, because the love is genuine. She was brought to life through by being given birth to. Blood came out. Then something was slaughtered as her, for her naming ceremony. Blood came out. In disvagining her, blood came out. If this blood did not come out, any of it did not come out properly, there is a problem. So most ladies today, that most of our boys are marrying, and most boys today that are marrying their ladies for the first time, they have already seen other women. That's why when a man too indulges in zina before getting married, he will not find satisfaction in his wife easily. The first last time he said, always marry virgins. Why? He said, because they are pleased with little, because they don't know anything before you. The way you are is what they know. And whatever you do to them is what pleases them, because that's what they know. You go to buy suya for a lady. She has never taken suya in her life. She will tell you it's very good, it's very sweet. But when you take suya to a lady and she's saying, no, this is not very good, this is not there, this is not there, which means she's used to taking suya from other places. This is not a small matter. So most ladies today enter their husband without genuine love, because the blood has been given to somebody else. Instead of them to now find out how do they compensate for the sin they have committed so that Allah can forgive them, they go far more into the sin by expecting the man, anything the man do, you did not do it, this is not correct. Why? This is not correct. That, because they are comparing this man now to another man. You can see Zaidu here did not touch Zaid Zainab bint Jahsh. And there are, that's why you are asked to be very careful the lady you are marrying. If you are marrying a lady that you know is already involved in this kind of business, but you want to marry her for some other reasons, then when you marry her, she has to do istibra for 3 months or 1 month minimum. Don't touch her for 1 month to be sure that she is not pregnant. And in these days, maybe she should go and do tests to be sure that she is free from AIDS and the rest, except you have a trust in her. And if you have a trust in lady and the lady knows that she has committed this, when the lady comes to the house, she should bend her head down and learn how to respect this man. Because there are places today, there are towns today, there are houses today, that if you marry a lady and she's not a virgin, they are going to ask you to divorce her. And she has to leave. She must leave. Okay, if somebody else has divorced you, then what are we doing with you? Then we are not marrying you as a virgin, we are marrying you as a divorcee. Was there a first marriage? There was a first marriage. The first marriage was conducted by Satan. This is very important. Because all of us are playing with it. Some ladies will even tell you, how can you say that you have never known a man before getting married? Subhanallah. And who are responsible? The fathers are responsible. Because you are the one that was given this child. Between you and the wife, you have to stand up for your daughters. Don't allow them to be deviated off the path. In ABU here, not in another university, a man sent his daughter to this place. And he made it his business to be coming to check the daughter every week from Kano. One day he came and he saw the man with another, the lady with another man in a manner he doesn't like. That is the day the lady left this campus and got married. What is the university? What education are you getting from the university? That is more than the education Allah is giving us in the Quran. Which education is it? Any education that will teach you not to be chaste is not an education. So let us be very careful. This thing is most of the problems we are having in homes today between males and females today is based on this. They married a man that by natural disposition the love is not there. So there is no satisfaction. So may Allah save all of us.
Amen.
So if you marry women for reasons that is best known to you, you have to divorce her before you touch her, then when you divorce them, you don't count any iddah. They just leave. But mati'uhunna, try to give them something so that they are not annoyed for bringing them in. For example, if you have already bought wedding clothes for them, leave it for them. If you have already given them the sadaqi, leave it for them. Wasarrihuhunna, and try to ask them to leave in peace and in dignity. Don't go and start telling people, this is why I divorced her. This is why I divorced her. No, don't tell anybody. Even if people are abusing you. Why did you divorce her? It's between you and her. Allah said, it's a command for. And Allah is talking to the mu'min. Said, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu. If you don't follow the commandment of Allah, you're not part of the mu'min. So Allah is talking to the ones that have faith in His laws, not the ones that are doubting His laws. Whenever you hear that they said, Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, bring your head down and prostrate. Don't listen to yourself again. It's very dangerous. So may Allah have mercy on all of us.
Amen.
يا أيها النبي إنا أحللنا لك أزواجك التي آتيت أجورهن التي آتيت أجورهن وما ملكت يمينك مما أفاء الله عليك وبنات عمك وبنات عماتك وبنات خالك وبنات خالاتك اللاتي هاجرن معك وامرأة مؤمنة إن وهبت نفسها للنبي إن أراد النبي أن يستنكحها خالصة لك من دون المؤمنين قد علمنا ما فرضنا عليهم في أزواجهم وما ملكت أيمانهم لكي لا يكون عليك حرج وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
يا أيها النبي إنا أعلمنا لك أزواجك التي آتيت أجورهن وما ملكت يمينك بما أفاء الله عليك وبنات أمك وبنات أماتك وبنات خالك وبنات خالاتك اللاتي هاجرن معك وامرأة مؤمنة إن وهبت نفسها للنبي إن أراد النبي أن يستنكحها خالصا لك من دون المؤمنين قد علمنا ما فرضنا عليه من أزواجهم وملكت أيمانهم لكي لا يكون عليك حرج وكان الله غفورا رحيما. الله تبارك وتعالى إسلام communicated to Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم always calling him with dignity to teach us to dignify the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we are his community. We go with him. Walimla wa izzul malki izzu abidihi. Whether you like it or not, Allah will give us our dignity because we are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayuhan nabi, oh you this prophet of dignity. Inna ahlalna laka azwajaka allati atita ujurahun. We have made love for you. All this, your wives that you have given their dua, their sadaqi. Inna halanna laka azwajaka allati atita ujurahunna. Wa ma malakat yaminuka mimma afaa Allah alayk. And all those that are your slaves that you own or that you got as spoils of war. inna halalaka azwajika allati atatajurahunna wa malakati yaminuka ma fa Allah alayk wa banati ammika and the daughters of your paternal uncle wa banati ammatika and the daughters of your paternal aunts wa banati khalika and the daughters of your maternal uncles wa banati khalatika and the daughters of your maternal aunts wa banati ammika wa banati ammatika wa banati khalika wa banati khalatika allati hajarna maka those ones wa banati ammika wa banati ammatika wa banati khalika wa banati khalatika allati hajarna maka these your near relatives your cousins from your father's side your cousins from your mother's side that you went on migration from Makkah to Medina with you are permitted to marry all any of them that you wish to marry wa imratan mu'minatan and any woman that is a believing woman that so wishes wa batna hafsaha that so wishes to give herself free to you in wa bat nafsaha lin nabi in arada nabiu if the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so wish that he will marry that lady is you are permitted ya kharisatan laka this is only permitted to you min duril mu'minin not any other faithful servants of Allah wa kana Allahu ghafuran qad alimna ma faradna alayhim fi azwajihim we already know what we have ordained for them concerning their wives wa malakat imanuhum and concerning that the slave girls that they own qad alimna ma faradna alayhim fi azwajihim wa malakat imanuhum kay la yakuna alayka haraj all this O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam we are doing it so that there will be no tightness you will not feel any inconvenience in carrying out your work wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala before the creation after creation forever kana ghafuran is always forgiving rahiman is always merciful here we have to be very careful a lot of us because of the western education you listen to the Quran you believe then you start having doubts the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this particular verse here has a lot of laws concerning it also the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to do a work وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ You are sent to the world to be mercy to the whole mankind. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم finds it difficult to see us in trouble. What is his name? Before coming to the world, as Jesus Christ told us, Ahmad. What is his name? After coming to the world, Muhammad. All the prophets of Allah they knew Mawlana sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Ahmad his companions that were with him in Makkah they knew the Ahmad of him but all those that met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina and us we only know the Muhammad of him the Ahmad of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very difficult to bear very difficult That's why all the prophets that came before him, some never had children, some were killed, some their children were killed before them, some, so many, look at how their life, difficult, difficult, difficult. Because they knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his Ahmad. Ahmad, Alif 1, Ha 8, Mim 40, Dal 4. How much is that? 53. That is the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent in Makkah. Anybody that met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah, he was not the person that was open for compromise or anything. That was not the place for compromise. That place was for La ilaha illallah. Fakat, that's all. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illa, that's all in Mecca. When he came to Medina, the chapter of Muhammad Rasulullah opened till the day of judgment. So Muhammad is 92. The Muhammad was completed at the end of the time Imam Hassan gave out the leadership to Muawiyah. 92 years ended, that's all. Ahmad, to know the Prophet as Ahmad, believe me, is very difficult. Because the Prophet can see you there, he doesn't care. There's no compromise at that time. So as La ilaha illallah, at that time, he never even thought of marriage until at the age of 25, when everybody was talking. And when he was married, he was not looking at who the lady is. What is his business? How does the lady look? What is the purity of the heart of the lady? And said that Khadija at that time was the purest of women that existed. That's why Allah directed her. She was waiting for him, he was looking for her. And they came together and they married. What is the problem? The problem has no time for this issue of sexuality. That's not what brought him to the world. All his life in Mecca, he was married to only Sayyidah Khadija. And Sayyidah Khadija died after his return, before his going to Khawazim. Up to the age of 50, from 25 to the age of 50, the whole of that 25 years added, the Prophet never knew another woman but Sayyidah Khadija. After the sanctions that the Quraysh put on the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all those following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it became so difficult for Sayyidah Khadija. Sayyidah Khadija was spending everything she has for the Prophet. She knows who he is. And at the end of the day, she died in that difficulty. The uncle that was also a protective guardian died. The Prophet went to Khawazin, that is Taif, spent nearly a month trying to find out who will assist him in continuing with the religion. It was there, as he was returning, they were stoning him, they injured him, and that was the place where he met with Adas from the people of Nabi Yunus. Then he finally returned, and then Allah granted him Isra' and Mi'raj. It was when he returned now that people are talking after that the incident that you cannot just stay in the house alone like this. He was not bothered. He was alone. We say the Ali. Then he was now asked to marry. And who will he marry? Sauda. There was a lady that the husband had died, and she's not that young. If it's somebody who has interest in women, is that kind of lady he will go and marry again? This is a person that no creature has ever come to this world that is closeness and handsomeness to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. While Ras said Na Yusuf was given half of the beauty, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi was given 100% of it. He has attractive and protective beauty. Sayyidina Yusuf has only attractive beauty. He didn't have protective beauty. So it's very easy for women to go to him and fall for him and try to seduce him. The Prophet has attractive beauty. When you come close to him, he has also protective beauty that you cannot try to seduce him. You'll be afraid of yourself. So the Prophet has no interest in women. It was at this particular point that Allah sent Angel Gabriel to show the picture of Sayyidah Aisha to the Prophet in a velvet cloth. See this lady, it's your wife. Then he went, he called, said, "Now, Bakar, this lady is my wife." Then the marriage was taking place. But he did not also even go ahead to say the lady has to come to his house. Until when they went to Medina, after months in Shawwal, before Sayyidah Aisha finally came to life. Then she was already 9 years old. The first last summer, then now had two wives, Sauda and Aisha. And he has now made hijrah, so he has left Ahmad and he has gone to bin Muhammad. That's the hijrah. In bin Muhammad, his aim is to be soft mild, kind, so that he can get a lot of clones, because he wants to bear spiritual children now. And in bearing spiritual children, what you're having are clones of you who are going to deliver your messages. You have to be kind, to be merciful, to as much as possible compromise. That's why the Prophet at that time, all his marriages from that time had to do with how the message will have to carry on. So when you see any wife that the Prophet married at that time, there's meaning to it beyond being a wife. Then the next person that he will get married to is Sayyidah Hafsa. It's enough for you to know that Sayyidah Aisha is daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Look at the closeness of Sayyidina Abu Bakr with the Prophet from youth. And also the first to accept the Prophet and accepted him 100%. If Allah now encouraged him, marry the daughter, can't you see yourself the wisdom in it? That is going to strengthen Islam and strengthen Sayyidina Abu Bakr and make Sayyidina Abu Bakr to believe that yes, I am part of this affair completely. Then after that, Sayyidina Hafsa, the husband also passed away. Who is she? Daughter of Sayyidina Umar. Look at how Sayyidina Umar, the risk he took at all periods. Who is best to comfort Sayyidina Umar in this issue? Sayyidina Umar himself wanted Sayyidina Abu Bakr or Sayyidina Usman. The both of them rejected. Sayyidina Abu Bakr already knew that the Prophet is the one who should marry this lady. And to what she believed, he believed, that's what happened. Rasulullah said, Umar, don't worry. I'll give Hafsa a better husband than the one you are looking for. And I'll give Sayyidina Usman the better wife than Hafsa. And he married Ummu Kulthum to Sayyidina Usman and he took Hafsa for a wife. Is it out of beauty now? Don't you see that all this one has strengthened that community now? And so he now has how many wives now? Three. Sayyidah Sauda. Sayyidah Khadija is gone now. Sayyidah Sauda, Sayyidah Aisha, and Hafsa. Then they were like that when Abu Salma died. Left children. He left a wife. Very dutiful wife. Who herself reached to Allah to give her a husband better than her husband because of her belief in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The husband died, she said. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever lost something and says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, it's from Allah we come, it's from Allah we go back to. Allah will give him better than what he lost. I have lost Abu Salma. I don't know who is better than Abu Salma. But in my belief on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will say what the Prophet asked me to say. I will say it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She continuously was saying it. And Allah said, in your belief on this Prophet, you will get somebody better than Abu Salma. Who? The Prophet himself. He was sitting down and the Prophet said to her, I want to marry you. Me? Said yes. I was saying this prayer. I never knew that Allah truly will give me somebody better than Abu Salma. She gave her complaint. The Prophet Muhammad said, I will solve the complaints for you. I married her. She now has four. Thank you, Mata Barakum in Anisai. Masne wa sulasa wa ruba. Allah has already brought the verse. Marry what pleases you of women. Two or three or four. He said two or three or four. Or two and three and four. Depending on the way you translate it. Or two and three and four, depending on the way you translate it. The Shia, they say two, then three, then four, nine. You can have nine wives. After all, the Prophet left this world and there were nine wives under him. This is their own belief. For the Shia, this is their belief. The maximum wives you can have, nine. When the Prophet is going to take another wife now, Allah has said, thank you, Mata Barakum in Anisai, Masne Wasulase Warba. And it's understood to be four, then what will the Prophet do? That's why the fifth wife Allah himself is the one that married her to the husband. Allah marries, says, Azila bint Jahash, the wajnakaha. Allah is the one that conduct the marriage. So you now know that this 50 wives that the Prophet is taking for is from Allah. Allah permits it. Then, before that, tongues were wagging. When the verse came, the mu'min, those that believe, they were happy. Allah did this. The munafiq, since he came to Medina, only marrying one wife. Because a munafiq, an enemy of Allah, no matter how something is good, he will never see the good. The ulama, they said, a munafiq, when he sees an evil land, he will show you the hill on the evil land. A mu'min, even if there is a hill, he will flatten it with his feet. So Zainab bint Hajjaj was married as the fifth wife. Then Allah said, "Inna ahlalnaka azwajaka allati atayta ujurahunna." The first four, he gave their dower to them. Then now comes that those that the Prophet possessed out of milk al-yameen, that is, they are his own slaves. Or there was a war and it became his spoil of war. One of them is Juwayriya of Bani Mustalik. Juwayriya, the Prophet, in her own case, she's a very beautiful lady of Bani Mustalik. These are one of the enemies of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they become a spoil of war. Then she fell into one of Sahaba. When he fell to Sahaba, he said, "Please, I'm the daughter of a king. I can't be your slave. Allow me to go and look for what I will use in emancipating myself." The Sahaba was reluctant. Then she said, "Please, where is the Prophet?" Then she came during the war to where the Prophet's camp, tent was. As she was approaching, Sayyidah Aisha saw her. "Sir, who is this lady?" They said, "She's one of the slaves that was just captured. I pray the Prophet does not see this lady, because she is so exceedingly beautiful. I pray the Prophet does not see this lady." "Where is the Prophet?" She's not around. "We can go." "No, I'm waiting for her, for him." She waited for the Prophet. Immediately the Prophet came and said, "I'm the daughter of a king of this Bani Mustalik that you captured, and I have fallen into this person's spoil of beauty. I've fallen into his booty, and I want to emancipate myself. Please, can you assist me? Let me go and look forward to emancipate myself and come back. I will not run." Prophet said, "Oh, you want me to do something better for you?" He said, "What?" He said, "I will free you and I will marry you." He said, "Welcome." Women, all the time, women want somebody that this is a man, is a leader, is a man of dignity. Most women want it. So by marrying this, the whole of Banu Mustalik automatically now are now looking at the Prophet as their in-law. These are a group of people, because of even this marriage, a lot of Sahabat freed the ladies that they captured. And most of them entered Islam. So the Prophet's message, the Prophet's mission is what bothers him, not what you are thinking in your mind. Then after that, this Banu Qurayza, this Huyay bin Akhtabin, one of their leaders that was killed, that was sent away from Banu Nadir, later went to Banu Qurayza and was killed along with them. Their people ran to Khaybar. During the war of Khaybar, some people were captured. One of those captured is Safiya. Safiya bin Huyay bin Akhtabin. Safiya is a Jew. In the case of Safiya, she loved the Prophet exceedingly, despite what happened to the father, because there are precursors to her meeting the Prophet. There are two major precursors. Sophia was a small girl when the Prophet arrived in Medina. The Banu Nadir, they were in Medina, but a bit far away, like the Banu Qurayza. It was the Banu Qaynuqa that were inside Medina. Sophia heard somebody came to his father, and the father was asking this person. They said, this man has come. He said, yes. Did you go to see him? He said, yes. Is he the one? He said, yes, he's the one. After seeing him, the man is the one. He said, may Allah curse these Arabs, and we will never believe in them. So this Jew went to look at the Prophet, and all the signs that they were told in their book at Torah, when he saw the Prophet, his behavior, his demeanor, his physical looks, he was sure this man is the Prophet that will be sent to them. He was sure. But since he's an Arab, they will never believe in him. From that day, Sophia knows that this man, as the Prophet, is out of jealousy and hatred that his people don't believe in him. Not out of that, is not. So this lady, as a child, had this in her memory. Then, after the war of Khandaq, when the whole people of Banu Qurayza, the army were killed, and the ladies, some of them, left and got freed, and they went to Khaybar. Sophia got married to the prince of the Jew, that is the son of the king of Qurayza. After the marriage, then she had a dream. She had a dream that the sun came and fell in her front. After having this dream, she doesn't understand the meaning of the dream. She went innocently and told the husband, I had a dream that the sun came and fell in front of me. The husband gave her a dirty slap. A dirty slap that fell her down. What is it? So, you want to be the wife of an Arab king? Because the translation of a son to them is an Arab king. So she's going to marry to an Arab king. So she already knows this. The husband hit her on this. So after the war of Khaybar, and the booty came, and Sophia became a slave girl, she walked straight to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Straight. Oh Prophet, let me be free. I'm Sophia. This. Prophet seeing her, of course, knows her. And knows what she doesn't know of her own self. And said, I will do something better than that. I will free you and I'll marry you. So the Orientalists and the Western people can't understand how a person can kill your father and you come and love her dearly. They don't know that this fate you see, when it enters your heart, a lot can happen. So when after Sophia came into the Prophet's household, anytime she sees the Prophet is sick, she will be so bothered. Oh Prophet, may it be that my health is given to you. Let Allah take this from me and give it to you. Then the other wives will make a jest of her. Look at Jufa, this Jewish, always saying this, as if she loves the Prophet. Jewish. One day she went to the Prophet and said, oh Prophet, how do these people are referring to me as a Jew, as a Jew, as a Jew? It's paining me. I said, you don't know yourself, that's why. You are a Jew, but a Jew with dignity and honor. Any day they tell you this, reply like this. Yes, I am a Jew. My husband is a prophet. My grandfather is a prophet. My uncle is a prophet. Harun is my grandfather. Moses is my uncle. Which of you has this kind? Tell me. Because she didn't know she was the grandchild of Nabi Harun. But the Prophet now told her. The next time they quarreled, I said, always you are referring to me as a Jew. My father is Nabi Harun. Go and ask. My uncle is Nabi Musa. Go and ask. My husband is Nabi Muhammad. Go and ask. Who among you is like that? From there, everybody, all of them kept quiet. They know that this was to be told to him by the Prophet. To have by the Prophet. So, wa malakat yaminuka mimma afa Allah alayk wa banati ammika wa banati ammatika, and the daughters of your aunt, of your paternal uncles and paternal aunts are allowed for you to marry. Among the paternal uncles is this Zainab bint Jahsh. From the mother side of Zainab to the father of the is an uncle, is a cousin to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the paternal uncle. From the maternal from the paternal aunt, Ummu Hani, radiallahu ta'ala anha, daughter of Abu Talib, the Prophet wanted to marry her. She was the one who complained, look at the amount of children I have, look at this. Then she was still in Makkah. Then when he said, وَبَنَاتِ أَمِّكَ وَبَنَاتِ أَمَّاتِكَ وَبَنَاتِ خَالِكَ وَبَنَاتِ خَالَاتِكَ اللَّاتِي هَيَهَاجَرْنَ مَعَكَ, then Ummu Hani said, and I did not do hijrah. So which means she's not permitted to marry Sayyidah Ummu Hani. But she wanted to marry Sayyidah Ummu Hani again to cement the relationship between them and the family of Abu Talib, his uncle. Then with regards to the maternal aunts, she had no relationship, women that she can marry from there. Wa imratan mu'minatan, and any woman that so give herself up to you as a donation that marry me, and this is Maymuna. Sayyidah Maymuna, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent to her that I want to marry you. She was on a camel. He said, no, not married. The camel and what's on top of it is a gift of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, Zainab is the fifth wife. You have Juwayriya, sixth. You have Safiya, seventh. You have Maymuna, the eighth wife. Then, you now have lady that was returned from, was married to her by Najashi in Ethiopia. That is the brother of this lady, Ramla, Hindu, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Daughter of Abu Sufyan, the husband, when they went to for Hijrah in Ethiopia, what happened? The husband became a Christian. So she had no husband again. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had and sent to Najashi that Najashi should marry her to him. So this is the ninth wife of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that of the wives that he left. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married her and brought her. And in that, it made it difficult for Abu Sufyan after that to confront the Prophet in any way. So all these things were for his own mission. He was not just marrying anyhow. He had reasons for his marriage. It's his mission. That's why how also you find a lot of ulama today, you see them marrying. They have their own mission. So we have to stop here and continue because it is time. So when we come, we'll continue and finish the verse tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive all our sins. The Prophet Muhammad has his own mission. His mission is first before anything. And his mission is us. He wants us to be as much as possible like him. That's why we are told, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We should be like the Prophet as much as possible. This is what the Prophet wants. And he sacrificed all his life to make sure that most of us are like that. Tomorrow we'll continue. May Allah forgive us. May Allah bring peace to our country. May Allah bring peace to our homes. May Allah give us wealth. May Allah grant us our dignity. May Allah give us good health. May Allah bless all that we have. May Allah bless our country. May Allah strengthen Islam and strengthen Muslim. Jai Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-lazina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح ما أغرق الخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق الهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره من الدار العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Assalamu alaikum.
Khalid, where is Farid?